Hi, Randy?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Nerd War, John Ruskin here.
Hi.
CITR.
Hi, everybody. It's Namiko, and this is Canadian Lunch. Canadian Lunch. Hello.
Oh, now I feel nervous.
Okay, here we are, and you're listening to Canadian Lunch, and I am here with Mao. And would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Karina, and I play bass, and I do some kind of crappy backup vocals.
And I'm Toby. I play guitar, and I do great vocals.
Great
and
lead
and
vocals.
Sadly, we're missing Nico. Sadly,
yeah, she's sick.
But you guys are sick. But you're troopers.
We're.
I'm not sick. I'm not sick.
You have allergies.
Yeah, but that doesn't qualify as being sick.
And it doesn't mean that you're a nerd either.
No.
Because I have them too, and I'm not a nerd.
No. Well, maybe I'm a nerd, but I don't know.
Okay.
I certainly look like a nerd right now, but that's because I just got out of work. So.
So you guys have other ways of earning income besides record making?
Record making.
Hello?
Hello?
I don't think I did it. Hang on a sec.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Successful.
Did it work?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, I've got my coffee now, although it's too hot to drink.
And I've got my...
Being as I have a cold and I'm on cold medicine, I probably won't be concentrating as well as I usually do in interviews. But if I start to sort of like drift off or anything, just forgive me.
Now, hello, Heather. Where are you?
Yeah. Well, I should be all right, but I'm feeling a little, I'm kind of feeling like I just woke up.
Well, the weather up there started turning kind of rainy.
Yeah.
It's kind of blustery out or sort of rainy.
Oh.
Raining. Was it a nice day today up there?
It was a really kind of nondescript day. Actually, it didn't, I've been inside for the last couple hours, but I mean, it was just kind of, it wasn't raining or anything, it was just kind of overcast.
Oh, yeah.
And blah.
Blah, yeah.
So, but yeah, the weather did change kind of suddenly, so consequently everybody's sick right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of the inevitable. How is it? It's probably really sunny down
in
San Francisco.
It is actually very sunny, it's very nice weather, which is, it's warmer than usual. Have you spent much time down here before?
Well, we were actually down there last month.
Oh.
And I think the last time we went was a couple years ago. But yeah, we love San Francisco. If we could ever find two gay men to marry us, we would go down there.
That's the trick.
Yeah. No, it would be.
It's really important
there,
to set it up right. They're a lot stricter than they used to be.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I know a couple of people who did that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That actually, like
it worked.
Gay women married gay men, and
yes, a couple married a couple.
Oh wow!
That you know.
But did they have to live with their respect?
No, they didn't. But they constructed it in such a way that there was a lot of correspondence that went back and forth to Canada and people in Canada. So they had this one woman had a male. She was lovers with an American, and basically. So each partner got something out of it. Like the one of the gay men was Israeli, I guess, and married one of the gay, you know, the women, and then the American woman, and then the Canadian woman married the American man, and so they kind of did a swap in a sense, and they really did a lot of backup work.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, it requires a lot of. A lot of backup work.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it, do it.
Yeah. Well, we might. There's other logistics to look after, too, like getting a job and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, that stuff.
But, you know, it's more of a fantasy right now, I think. But anyway, it's a nice...
People do
nice
it.
Nice place to visit.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I like living here.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Is that where you're from?
Well, I'm originally from...
Well, you're from England, obviously.
England, yeah.
I can tell by your accent.
And... Lived in Saskatoon for 8 years, Saskatoon,
oh,
Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Went to high school there. Took my show there last year.
Hmm.
And lived in Vancouver for 9 months in 1978.
Hmm.
And have been down here for 17 years.
Wow. What part of England are you from?
London.
Oh, wow. See, I love London, too. That's my other favorite city.
Golders Green, Hampstead area. That's where I'm from. Northwest London.
Sorry?
Northwest London is where I'm from.
Right on. Oh, excellent. Anyway, so let's do this, shall we?
Okay.
Anyway, so, I mean, the first thing that really strikes me about...
Is this, are we on tape?
Sorry?
Are we on tape?
We're on tape.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
So
cool.
We can edit. Don't
okay,
worry.
Okay, great.
God knows,
okay.
God knows I probably will, because I'll be sitting there going, oh my God, Heather, I can't believe you said that.
So. Okay. Right. Okay.
But anyway, no, I mean, the thing that strikes me, if my math is correct, is that you first began performing FTM a mere 2 years after starting your own transition process. So is it something that you essentially started writing as you were going along?
No, actually, I started writing. Yes, I wrote this as I was going along. I started performing this show actually just after a year.
Oh, wow.
Of starting transition. So I was just through with the first year. And so the point of the show was to show that in-between place of the transition part from female to male. And because that's what most transsexuals don't want to remember that, because it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the culture just does not support being in-between. You're either this or you're that. And I basically was taking notes actually long before I actually decided to transition. I knew I was working on some piece, and I just started taking notes and wrote everything down, wrote down all my dreams.
Oh,
and
wow.
I ended up with 78 pages of notes, 10 point, and took stuff out of that, just, you know, bits out of that, and sort of reworked them into this show.
So did you always know that this was going to be something you would perform in public?
Yes, I sort of knew before I actually decided to transition. I didn't decide to transition till summer of 92, and mm-hmm. I didn't actually start hormones till spring of 93. But back in like 1991, the thoughts went through my mind that I might transition, and I knew that if I transitioned, I'd have to be public about it. It just sort of went hand in hand with my gender stuff was being a performer, because I started training as an actor when I was 19. I'm 38 now, so I'm sort of an actor before anything else. And then when I hit 31, 32, I wrote my first play. So I sort of figured, you know, I always wanted to act, and I couldn't imagine not being out about who I am, and so it just sort of went hand in hand. I had to be public about it, and since also nobody else was doing it, then I mm-hmm. felt like it's important to do that.
So what's it been like for you? I mean, especially the first few times you performed it, I mean, was it very, did you feel naked before the audience?
Yeah, it was very cathartic, because it was completely new material, and I was so fresh, and it was still so close to home, because I'd just gotten through the first year. And I find it, as time goes on, I get more distance from it and more distance from the character, the main character, Timothy. That character has sort of evolved over time, because that's not really me anymore. That's mm-hmm. a character based on a particular teenage character. In terms of, when I say teenage, I mean from an transsexual male point of view, you know, you go through this transition, and there's a period of adolescence. Mm-hmm. And but I find as time goes on, it's much easier for me to have perspective, and it's easier for me to do the show because it's more distant from me.
Mm-hmm. How do audiences react around North America? Imagine it's different from place to place.
It is different from place to place. I would say in general, very positively. Mm-hmm. I think that in some places people get it more than others. Like in Vancouver was great. I had, I think, probably my best, most responsive audiences in Vancouver.
Oh, wow. Even compared with San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco, I think they're on par. I think mm-hmm. they're on par. I did, my first run was in San Francisco 2 years ago, and I'm about to do a month run here in November. But I think it has to do with the level of, I guess, understanding of certain issues that for some audiences are completely new. Although I did my show in Orlando, Florida in in April, and it was I had great audiences there. And it really depends. Sometimes audiences are very quiet and they don't want to. I think they don't want to laugh because I think they don't want to offend me by perhaps laughing in the wrong place or something. But usually when there's queer audiences or there's queers in the audience, they'll get things that other people might not get, and usually it lightens things up so that it gives other people permission to laugh. But generally I would say the response has been pretty positive.
Right on. Do you get a lot of personal feedback from people?
Sometimes. You know, I have an email address and, you know, my P.O. box. I make myself available if people want to write. Sometimes people come up to me after the show. Sometimes people are very shy and don't. And, you know, obviously there's going to be people who they can't particularly relate to it. And so there's going to be people who don't relate to it and people who do. So, you know, I can't tell a lot of times. I just hear, you know, feedback, usually feedback from people who like it. So I don't know. You know, maybe I don't know who else there is out there.
What kind of response do you get from other FTMs?
Pretty positive. I think that, not that I've talked to a lot of people about this, but I think that there are people out there who have very different experience than I do. And I think I always want to emphasize that what I'm performing is something that is based on my experience. It's through my particular filters. And there is such a variety of transsexual men out there, and so I can't possibly speak for all of them. And so there's going to be people who just really, they maybe relate to a very small portion of my experience, but they don't, you know, relate to other aspects of it. It's like, you know, within a lesbian community or a gay community, initially people sort of saw lesbians as being kind of one type of lesbian or one type of gay man, and the truth is it's this sort of huge gamut of experience. And the same thing in the transgender community. So, you know, I think the response has been positive. I think people are glad to see that somebody's doing something out there, and hopefully it'll inspire other people to write and perform and, you know, get moving in whatever way they feel that they want to make a contribution. I just think visibility is very important.
So tell me a bit about your own story as it compares to the story of Tim. I mean, if I can remember correctly, back to the beginning of the play, Tim talks about having said something to his parents at a fairly young age about wanting to change sexes. Was that your experience as well?
Yeah, that is. I did ask my mother if I could have a sex change when I was 5.
Wow.
And she didn't know about male into female, but not the other way around. But I was also, there's only so much you can put in a play. And see, it kind of gets distilled and then sort of bent here and there to make it work theatrically. and I also had a very much of a male homoerotic sensibility as a young child. And so around 5, I remember going to bed every night imagining that I was Paul and George of the Beatles and they were having sex with one another, and I'd take turns being one or the other. So very early on, the seed which now I am, I'm a fag in full bloom.
But now, interestingly enough, like Tim in the play, you also came out through the lesbian community,
yes.
Did you not?
Yes.
So at what point did you always know inside that you were really a man, or did you sort of have to work through the idea that maybe you were a lesbian?
I had to really work through it. I mean, I figured when I hit puberty, it was very traumatic because my body started changing, and I at that point felt like I had no control over it, and so I just and at that point we also emigrated to Canada from England and to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, as a matter of fact. So I went to high school there, and so I basically tried to fit in, and I grew my hair long, and then I had crushes. I had one really major crush on a boy in high school. He's very androgynous. And but mostly who I fell in love with was, well, one particular girl. And so when I was 19, I came out as a lesbian, and I just thought that that must be what this gender stuff must have been, although I didn't have a name for the gender stuff. But I did have an experience when I was over in London visiting within a period of 2 days. Now, I was really trying to be a girl at this point,
mm-hmm.
but a couple of times, and I was not very masculine looking. I was never butch.
Mm-hmm.
But I, and within the space of 2 days, somebody called me young man.
Oh, wow.
And it freaked me out. It absolutely freaked me out.
Because
and
you felt like you were exposed?
Yes, on some level, but I didn't have the language for it.
Hmm.
And so, and then after that, I came out as a lesbian. And then I just thought, well, that must be what it was, because there were other people who had similar childhood experiences. And I think that that was part of what made it difficult to sort this all out, was that there are a lot of lesbians and straight women, or bisexual women too, mm-hmm. who've had experiences of wanting to be a boy and wanting to play with the boys and all of that. And so I really didn't think anything of it, although there was these little rumblings at the back of my mind, and I periodically have dreams. I was a professional dominatrix for a few years, and dressed up in high femme drag, corset heels, bob. My name is Mistress Marlena, and that's what why I wrote my first play about. I was sort of really playing around with, like, what's female, like trying to sort of figure out what that was. And I think after I came out of, you know, doing that for the time I did it, I realized I could play that role and people actually believed me. I never believed it.
Hmm.
People would see me as female, but I realized I could actually pull it off.
Hmm. So you were acting.
So I was acting. It was theater for me. And actually, I found that I didn't used to audition for theater, for plays, because I was on some level, and I never could quite figure this out, but I was afraid that if I auditioned that people would find out my secret, that I wasn't really a woman. I didn't believe I could play a woman. And I worked on this in acting school and all my acting classes. And I was even upfront enough to say to one acting teacher I studied with for 3 years, you know, I don't know how to play a woman. And apparently I could pull it off. I mean, we worked on this. We did all these exercises. And I could pull it off. But it was incredibly difficult for me. And I think what carried it was that I could look quite feminine.
Hmm. Interesting.
I mean, people often assume that if you look a certain way, if you look masculine, then that's, you know, a precursor. But there's a lot of butch women out there who don't want to be men. And
mm-hmm.
there's some femmy-looking, what look like women, who are actually not.
Mm-hmm.
See, it doesn't have very much to do with looks.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I mean, in the lesbian community, there's this sort of talk about male privilege, usually in the negative sense. How did your lesbian, did you have a lot of lesbian friends, and how did they react when you told them that you were going to become a man, and how do you feel about the whole male privilege notion?
For the most part, I've had a lot of support from friends. Initially, some people had a reaction that some people thought they could be very supportive, and then realized that they had a lot of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was less about male privilege and more about losing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they did, because I'm a different person than who I was. I mean, my spirit's still there, but my personality's different. David is not the same person that Catherine was. Somebody died in the process, and people have had grief, and some people still do have grief about that. And I sometimes grieve the person I was, not, you know, because I liked that person.
Hmm.
And it was not about disliking who I was. It was not about disliking my body. I thought I had, you know, my body was a nice body for what it was. It just didn't fit me. So it's been more that of people adjusting and just getting used to who I'm now. And that sometimes takes time in being around me. There are a couple of people who I feel, and there are two people who are not around me, who and they're actually both from Vancouver originally, who I think it's very difficult for one reason or another, and I've lost contact with them. And that's sad, but I also know that it's not really about me, it's about the issues that I bring up for them. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes those things take time, and I know it's a big thing. It's in people's face, you know, when you've got somebody who you've been close to and then suddenly they go change their gender. It's such a fundamental thing in this culture that it brings up so much stuff, and it's a lot to deal with, and it'll sometimes bring up stuff you don't even know is there. So that's kind of basically been it, you know, that. And in terms of male privilege, it's really a hard one to actually pinpoint, because what I will say is that what I have noticed is that men get listened to more and taken seriously more, and they get listened to more by men and also by women, and deferred to just sort of automatically. And I do notice that, and I'm not terribly comfortable with it, because I don't like being on either end of that, quite frankly. But the other thing is, it's hard to know how much of it has to do with the fact that I'm more confident. And I'm just much more comfortable with who I am, and with that confidence, I just tend to initiate more and just be more out there. And who's to know? I don't know how much of that has to do with hormones. It's very difficult to really say, to really put a, really pinpoint it, because you'll get male to female transsexuals saying that they just feel more out there and happy and all of that, you know, when they're on estrogen. But I think they will all agree, I think we will all agree that there is a difference, and that men do tend to get treated with more respect. But I don't really feel that that's really affected in terms of my job status, or it's more of a subtle thing in terms of, like, you know, just the way I'm, just the way I'm looked at or treated on the street. I mean, for one thing, I don't get whistled at anymore. You know? I get cruised in certain parts of the town, but that's all different thing that I like.
So, did you find it hard coming out as FTM, partly because FTMs are less visible even in the transgender community?
No, I think in San Francisco, there's a decent community, and I already knew about that community. I think for me, I was so terrified of it. I mean, it was absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. To actually look at that, and that might be a possibility. And I think growing up, you know, in the lesbian community, I think I had a certain amount of indoctrination that men were the enemy and men were the problem.
That's and, sort of what I was getting at. Earlier.
And yes, and I think that what I had to start undoing was looking at where I actually learned that from, and was that actually true? And what I guess I don't have any answers, but what I've sort of come to is that it's a dynamic that's set up that I think has to do more with the gender system as a whole being rigid, that is, it makes it problematic, and it's hard not to sometimes play into that. And there are some men out there who behave in ways that are really very antisocial and very despicable, but there are also women who behave in other ways that are not so great either. It's like, no, I don't see anybody as being, any one gender as being the evil gender. It's kind of more a dynamic that's set up that is inherently unbalanced. So anyway, I had to look at all those ideas I'd had, and I had to unravel them. And because the fact is, it wasn't so much that I wanted to be a man, is that that's who I've always been all along, and so it was a matter of self-acceptance. And all these years, I guess I'd projected all those ideas about men onto who that part of myself, and so I had to, like, really undo that and realized that maybe if I did this change, maybe I wouldn't be an asshole. I mean, I thought, I was a really, one of my big fears is like, oh, I'd get on testosterone and I'd turn into an asshole, you know. Do we have to edit that out?
No, not at all.
Okay. So that was one of my big fears. I didn't want to turn into a horrible person. And then so I realized, well, you know, that has, whether or not you are a...
you can say
a decent,
asshole.
Decent person. No, a decent person. It has nothing to do with gender. I can bring with me, basically this gender change is about being myself, and I'm more comfortable walking around in the world looking at myself in the mirror with a more male body and being interacted that way. And I can bring with me all the things that I like about my life before, and those are mine. I don't have to fit into some other little box. Basically, what I have the opportunity to do is redefine what man is,
mm-hmm.
and basically find, sort of create a place for myself in the culture. I don't have to jump from one box to another box. It's like, why do that? It was from one prison cell to another. And the whole point of this, if I'm going to go to the trouble of this transition, I have the opportunity to break down the whole thing completely and just be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And integrate all of the things I liked about being raised female, of which there is a lot, into living in the world as male, and which I like a lot. And so in that way, it's been wonderfully liberating. But it really has to, it really requires a lot of questioning,
mm-hmm.
you know, questioning, you know, what's out there and what I want to partake in and what I don't.
Mm-hmm. How was it for you working out your sexuality? Because you went from being a lesbian to a gay man.
Yes. Well, initially, I was a lesbian for 15 years, and the latter part of that, 4.5 years, I spent with Kate Bornstein, and she saw that I would be, if I did this transition, that I'd be interested in men, and I said, no, and I'm not going to do this transition. and of course, I did, and what happened was, I wasn't like, oh, I think I'll be a gay man. It was, again, it was something that... it's one of these mysterious things, just with my gender. It's like something much bigger than me just guided me, well, not guided me, pushed me into it. And with the gender, it's like, you know, I don't feel like I had a lot of choice in it. Mm-hmm. I just had the choice to surrender to it and stop fighting. And the same thing with my sexual orientation. I suddenly found that I found myself being attracted to men, and I wasn't attracted to women anymore in the same way. I do find women attractive, but it's not in the same way that I was before, where I want to actually pursue anything, you know, romantic or sexual with a woman. And that really surprised me. And so it was very confusing to begin with. And I just decided to keep my options open. You know, I sort of was calling myself pansexual for a while because I just did want to keep my options open. And then a couple of years ago, I put in some personal ads and started answering personal ads in some local queer rags here, and started having a lot of sex, and getting comfortable with my body as is, and finding out what I liked, what I didn't like, and you know, as time has gone on, I'm sort of starting to sort of really say that I'm gay, because I find that as time goes on, I seem to have moved more in that direction. Not that I rule out anything with women. I mean, I don't, you know, anything can happen. I mean, I know that in my life. Like, so, but at this point in time, this seems to be, I've been moving more in that direction. So, you know, it's a constant process. It's a constant journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is any destination in this. So when people say, are you complete? You know, this is a constant question I get on talk shows. Are you complete? Are you finished? It's like, you're never finished. I mean, it's always when the transition is continual. And it, you know, it's like asking you know, there's a lot of men who out there who were born factory equipped, as we say, and you can ask them if they feel like a man, and a lot of them don't feel like men, and it takes them years to sort of even understand what that is. I mean, there's all this assumption culturally that we understand what those labels, male and female, or man and woman, mean, and I think most of us really kind of are thinking, well, I should understand, and I suppose I do, but I have, you know, there's no real questioning of it, and so I think there's probably a lot of men who were born with all the plumbing and everything who don't really know and who don't really feel like men. I mean, some will say they do, but there's a lot who don't. I mean, they tend to come talk to me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, in the play, my impression was that Tim opts for some form of genital surgery. Did you, in real life, opt for any kind of surgery? And
no.
What was your thought process?
That's interesting. It's interesting. Some people get that impression, but it's never explicitly stated. Mm-hmm. No, actually, that isn't in. It's interesting that that's read into the play, but it's not there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think probably why it's read into the play is that at one point I say that my penis is 2 inches long.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, well, you'd have to extend it a little bit.
No, you don't, because the hormones.
Ah.
Testosterone, I have a penis, it is about 2 inches long, and I grew it myself.
Hmm.
And it looks like it's obviously a very small penis, but it does, it looks like a penis, it's just very small, so the clitoris, it's not really a clitoris anymore. It's more, I guess, hermaphroditic, really, if anything.
Hmm.
So basically what I have is it's a cross between a penis, clitoris, it's kind of, you know, the labia has dropped down quite a bit into being more like a scrotum, actually, more hollow, and the vagina is still there, and so there's a lot of us who can live with that, and because of what has grown, and it feels good, and it functions like a penis. I mean, it's not big enough to penetrate, although there's some guys who can grow up to, they can grow up to about 4 inches.
Hmm.
So, but for me, I'm at this point in time, I don't have any interest in doing lower surgery. You know, I don't have absolutely 100% of what I want, but I can function, for the most part, quite fine, you know, in the world. You know, I have bad days. I have days when I go, you know, I just really, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say 95% of the time, I feel pretty good. And I have had upper surgery. I absolutely had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So a majority of us, it's partly financial, but a lot of it is also that the results for lower surgery are not something that most of us are particularly impressed by. But I cannot speak for everyone in that. And I think ultimately it's such a personal choice in what one feels one needs to do for one's own personal comfort.
Was it intimidating for you going into the gay male community at all, knowing, like, when you pick up a personal ad, for example, there's a lot of focus on how well somebody is hung? I mean, how do you find being with other gay men, and how do they relate to you?
Well, I tend to, in the ads I answer, I look for men who are bisexual.
Interesting.
Yes, I do. And when I've placed ads, it's often bisexual men who will answer. I have been with gay men. And I think the thing is, there are some men who are very much penisized, and penises are very, very central to their sexuality. There are other gay men where that is not so important, to my big surprise. I found that sometimes bisexual men, because they're familiar with other kinds of genitalia that it and it's there's not such a stigma about it. And also something that's really which doesn't get talked about is that when a partner is with a transsexual, inevitably it makes them question their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So if a gay man is with me, part of them is going to wonder, well, does this make me a straight man?
Mm-hmm.
And if a straight man is with me, they'll think to themselves, does this make me a gay man? And so because of the plumbing, because gender in the culture is identified so much, or people identified so much with plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
So the most, I've had a lot of people answer my ads who are actually straight men who say they're bisexual, but they're really not, and their mm-hmm. sex doesn't really work very well. They expect a certain dynamic, mm-hmm. which is not there, and I think they expect to have a male-female dynamic, and the best sex I've had has been with bisexual or gay-identified bisexual men or gay men. I'm using their own self-definitions there, and because the chemistry works, even if they're not as familiar with the plumbing.
Interesting.
So it's an energy.
So with bisexuals, because they don't have the hang-ups about identity?
Identity, that's it.
Because
it inevitably brings up people's questions of identity.
Mm-hmm. Neat. So do you think at this point in your life you relate to women differently?
Yeah. Well, I like women a lot. I mean, I have a lot of female friends. I think I do in a sense, because I'm not looking for a partner. I find I can be... one of the big fears I had about transitioning was I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to be close to women again because they would see me as the other or somebody that they couldn't get close to. And I've been pleasantly surprised in this that I can still be close with women. It's in a different way, but it's just a different kind of intimacy. It's just slightly different. There's a dynamic. But I think... usually it's like women think of me as a gay man that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So now you mentioned your relationship with Kate Bornstein, Bornstein?
She says either way.
Okay. And I know you guys remain friends. Was it her that helped you realize your own transsexualism?
Yeah, she was very gentle about it. I mean, she saw me struggling with it, recognized it because of what she'd been through. And I think it really scared her because she knew that she would lose, you know, Catherine if I decided to do that. And yet she loved me enough, loves me, she's a wonderful person, to support me in what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what happened, of course, the relationship transitioned into us not being lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I say transition because we never felt that we broke up. It was more of a transition. Because we have all, even through our separating as in the lover's sense, we have always remained very loving and very close.
Mm-hmm.
And but she was very supportive. And I felt also a safety there to question gender. I felt like it didn't have to be so rigid just because Kate was always questioning gender.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you that, actually, because Kate writes a lot about gender as being a social construct, and I was wondering how her views have impacted on your own philosophy.
It's hard to know because we've been around each other for a lot. We've discussed a lot of things. She has done a lot more research. She's read a lot more and formulated a lot of her own ideas. I tend to agree with a lot of what she has to say. Some things I haven't necessarily questioned enough, but I really think that she's on the right track with it.
Mm-hmm.
What I really agree with her more than anything else is to continue questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
Is to continue asking questions. If somebody has too quick an answer about something, or something seems like it's too pat, just to kind of question it. It's like, why is it that way? And who says?
Mm-hmm.
And So in that sense, I think it's really important to continue questioning.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of her most often quoted lines is how she feels she went from being a man to not really a man, to a woman to not really a woman. Is that something that you relate to? I mean, do you feel that you've gone from being woman to not really woman to man, not really man, or...
I don't know. I'm young with it. I'm only 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people who, right now, where I'm at, I'm really exploring being what male is. Mm-hmm. What is male? I'm trying to sort of explore that and getting into, I really feel like I'm getting into my body for the first time in my life. I've been doing stuff in it for years, you know, especially with the acting, trying to get into my body, doing physical stuff, and I feel like I'm only just starting to sort of settle in and sort of explore what is it like now. And so I don't know where I'm going to end up. I mean, she had no idea she would be where she's at now, because she'll keep changing, and as will I. I don't know. Maybe I'll get to a point where none of it will be that important anymore, but I could never have gotten to that point had I not done this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I have no idea where this is going to lead in terms of my own perceptions of it all. Mm-hmm. I'm not terribly intellectual about it. I kind of tend to move around on an instinctual level, and usually how I write it sort of comes out in, I guess, in experiences, and, you know, I often don't have words to sort of really say this is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered writing your own book from an FTM perspective?
People have asked me that, and I don't have a lot of interest in it at this point. The reason being that I love theater, and I've considered writing a screenplay and doing that. But I like theater because it is something that gives you a visceral experience. You're in the theater, and as much as you can experience what that performer is going through, you're in a trance for an hour or so, and there's an identification with that performer. And so I think the audience has the opportunity to live it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a book, there's always a certain amount of distance. And so what I'm really interested in is identification, because I think once an audience can identify with somebody who's up there, it's very difficult to then say that person is other, because they've seen themselves in that person. And and that's what I want. I feel I want to build bridges, and I feel the most effective way at this point in time in what my abilities are is to do that through theater, or, you know, at some point maybe film.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the FTM conference last month?
Yes, I did.
What did you think?
It was wonderful. I liked the one last year in San Francisco, but I liked Seattle better. It was a little smaller, more intimate, and what I was impressed by is that a lot of the guys there are into making a difference out there in the world. I mean, there are people in different walks of life. Some of, say, therapists. Or, like, there were a group of guys who are therapists who want to get together and educate the psychologists, psychiatric profession about our issues, because that profession is behind. We are basically educating them, and I think we pay them essentially to counsel us or learn from us. Although there are some very knowledgeable therapists around, so there's people who are doing that, and people in different walks of life. Some are much more politically active in terms of getting out there and getting laws changed. I consider my art my politics. So I think there's different ways to be political. But there's, you know, there were different people there, and I was really excited that there were some people who were into being visible and into making a difference. It wasn't about sitting back and complaining. It was like people who were just very motivated to go, you know, do things. And it was really the level of sharing and the level of conversation was very deep, and I made some new friends, and I was very impressed. I really liked it a lot.
Now, it's interesting what you say about your art being your politics. I mean, you are obviously becoming very visible as a result of this play. Do you ever see yourself saying, you know, okay, I've done my part for the transgender community, now I just like to sort of go on as a man and forget about things for a while?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm an actor, and that in terms of my personal path is I want to develop and continue developing my skills as an actor for as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do, and I have the feeling that I will continue to write and perform my own work, which in one way or another is going to be influenced by my gender. How can, and my gender change, how can it not? Some of course, most directly, it's been with this piece that I just wrote, you know, been writing, wrote and performed. Mm-hmm. So there's that component, but I also want to do other things. I also want to stretch myself and, you know, do Shakespeare and do other things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that I would... You know what it is that I don't want to just do things for the transgender community. I'm interested in doing things across the board for people. I don't like to say I'm just doing it for this community or that community. Obviously, I have alliances with the transgender community because of, up till now, sort of lack of visibility. And hopefully, too, by me being visible, it can help other people come out and inspire them to sort of do whatever they need to do. But I'd like to think that what I'm doing can help everybody.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see, or can you predict what your next move is going to be? Do you know?
I have another play that I'm working on right now. It's working on me. I think it's another solo piece, but it's gonna be different. And I think I'm moving more towards physical theater. I want to play around with that some. I have no idea how it's going to actually all come about, but my plays tend to sort of evolve organically, and then they kind of show me what they want to be, and then I do them. So so there's another play.
What's the subject matter? Can you tell?
It's going to deal with some sexuality in there.
Okay.
Sexuality, identity, and also... Being say a transsexual and relating to other people. I think FTM is something that was very much the play is very much about an internal journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this next piece is going to be more, I think, about how to relate to other people. I think that's a kind of a natural progression. But there's going to be an FTM character, but it's not going to be autobiographical. And you know, even though this one was based on autobiographical stuff, the next one is. I've got several different characters and different elements in there that are kind of I'm playing around with, which I think are going to be fun.
Hmm. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you very, very much, David.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's been really enjoyable talking to you. And like I said, I loved FTM. So. But, yeah, well, best of luck with the new play. Do you know when you're going to be... I guess you probably don't know when it's going to be finished. That's
no
a stupid
idea.
Question. To ask.
I'm going to be touring FTM. It looks like I'm going to be touring Berlin, taking to Berlin.